Hello, it's Wayne Perry, the TV carpenter here. Can I ask you a question? Are you a DIY doer? Meaning, do you like DIY? Do you like fixing things in your home? Or does it frighten you and you'd rather somebody else did it, like your other half, or you paid somebody to come and do it? The reason I'm asking the question is, it's either one or the other. People don't realise anyone can be a DIY doer. And for me, when I say that, I don't mean the big jobs. I don't mean putting up shelves. I don't mean laying laminate flooring. For me, DIY is about having a safe house for you and your family. So when I say safe, knowing how the smoke alarm works and why does it beep, or knowing how to turn your water off if your house is flooding, or if the fuse trips and your electrics go out, knowing what all the buttons on the fuse board do. So that's a safe home. I think everyone should have that. Everyone should have a practical home, meaning everything should work as it should. So if your curtain tracks falls out the wall, you know how to put it on. Or if your toilet seat breaks, you know how to change it. But also, I think everyone should have a beautiful home, knowing what paint types to use, knowing how to upcycle some furniture. If you would like a safe, practical and beautiful home, let me teach you the DIY around it. All you need to do is join the DIY Doers Facebook group. You can find it on Facebook, or you can go to my website, thetvcarpenter.com, and I'll link you straight through to there. Let me help you create a safe, beautiful, and practical home for you and your family. On today's show, I chat with Shalina Jokia from declutterme.com, and she gives us some top tips on how to arrange your wardrobe and also how to declutter your home.
Look at it first and see, can you file it away? Can you act on it within 5 seconds, or can you just throw it away, so toss it? And if you do that with everything that comes in, like your emails, if an email comes through, look at it straight away. Do you have to reply to it? Do you have to do anything? If not, either put it in the bin or put it into one of the folders, or act on it. The same, you know, at the end of the day, I have only 5 emails usually in my inbox because I've done file, act, toss.
Hello and welcome to the TV Carpenter podcast with me, Wayne Perry. This is a podcast where I interview my friends from the world of interior design and garden makeover shows, all with the aim of empowering you to pick up the tools, have a go to create your dream home. As a carpenter who works on interior design and garden makeover shows, I've become so aware how much the designers rely on good colours, strong colours, and good colour matches. So I had a word with my sponsor, Thorndown, because they're a paint company. I wanted to speak to them and speak about how they manage to colour match and how people create the colours that they want for their projects.
So we've got a RAL tinting machine, and it's been calibrated to be able to accurately reproduce all 1800 RAL classic and design colours. So you've got a very large spectrum there. But then also there are some colours that obviously you won't be able to match within that spectrum. So you can also create bespoke shades too within the RAL tinting machine.
So because your paint is water-based, are you able to mix colours? So if I wanted something to be slightly different when it arrived, am I able to mix them up at home as well?
Absolutely, yes. We designed the paints so you can mix them together really easily. And that was one of the whole concepts as well of creating the core colour chart, was to actually give people all of the core colours, so all the primary colours, so you can mix your own palette. And that's how we actually came to the Slade green colour, was because Naomi Slade, the journalist, she wanted to have more of a seagrassy green colour. So she mixed together, it was peregrine blue and reed green, and came up with a colour which we then dubbed Slade green for her.
It's great to know that Thorndown is a versatile paint. So if you would like to get a colour match, or you'd like to check out their colour charts that are available, you can go to thorndown.co.uk and see their spectrum of colours. But also, they're giving you 15% discount on any of their online purchases. All you have to do is go onto their website, thorndown.co.uk, and put in the code THETVCARPENTER to receive that 15% discount. My next guest is somebody who I was due to be speaking to at the Idle Home Show when I was going to be recording this podcast there live. And it's interesting that
over lockdown, this topic has been bounded about so much. I think we all did it. We all decluttered. We all cleared out our house and got rid of all the rubbish while we were locked down. And I think every cupboard got looked at. So it was really lovely to actually speak to her in the middle of lockdown so that we could discuss ways to help you declutter. And also we chatted about designing your wardrobe or designing a space and doing, you know, approaching it in the right way so that you get the best out of space when you're designing a walk-in wardrobe, for example. And she comes up with some pretty cool ideas about how to manage your home to stop it from getting cluttered. So this is Shalina Jokia from declutterme.com. Hello, Shalina from Declutter Me. Thank you for coming on the TV Carpenter podcast.
Thank you for having me. It's lovely to be on.
Yay. We were supposed to be chatting a good few months ago around about the Idle Home Show time. And then because you currently live in Dubai and you were coming over to the UK. And obviously with lockdown, everything ground to a halt. But I don't know what it's like over in Dubai, but over in the UK, the first few weeks of lockdown, everyone started clearing out those drawers and cupboards and everything. Is that the same thing that's happened over there?
It seems to have been, yeah, a lot of people did that. But I think with the families, they were more engrossed with the whole the schooling at home. So people got engrossed with that. But a lot of single friends I know were decluttering and kind of organizing and asking me for tips. So, Yeah, it was quite amusing to watch.
So hopefully your business has grown from that. How so are you originally from Kent? Is that right?
Yeah, I'm from the sunny part of the Garden of England. I was born and brought up there and then went to university in London and then moved here in 15 years ago, 5 days ago.
Wow.
So it's been a while.
And did you start your business? How long has the declutterme.com business been going?
So Declutter Me has been going on now for 7 years. So I started in 2013. So I used to be a solicitor before then.
Uh-huh.
So I was a lawyer in the UK, in London, and then I moved here to work here in-house. So I did that for many years, and then I just got to the point where, like many lawyers, that they'd had enough of doing it. And I dreamt about doing this. So I talked about doing this when I lived in London. And I saw no one was doing it here, so I thought I'd be the first one to start.
So are you a natural like tidy clean freak then?
Yeah, not a freak, but not OCD, but I've always been organized, always thought logically, even when I worked as a lawyer. Like most lawyers are not actually very organized with their filing, and I'm the opposite. So I used to clear up all the files in the companies I worked for and create systems for paperwork and digital systems when that was all starting, you know. It's just natural in me. Some people have to learn, and I just think like that.
Yeah. I've been wanting to get you on the podcast because it's very different from the kind of usual things I talk about. We talk about interior design and garden design, but I realized that it's all about making your house a home. And I was just looking on your Instagram and on your website. I just thought there's so much we could talk about that actually will benefit my listener. But what I found really interesting as well, if you looked on your website, decluttermeme.com, you also go into offices, and I suppose this comes from your background in law firms and that, but you go in there and clear out, help declutter the mindset of an office as well.
Yeah. So there's a few places I do. A lot of it is stock rooms or stationary cupboards, but often it's desks as well. So I'll give presentations on how to have a clean desk. But with people, you know, they buy things, especially when they're in events or technology. So they buy all this equipment and then they just throw it into a room and it's just a mess and then they can never find anything. And there's never been anyone there to actually go, well, you need to have it in a proper, you know, in shelving, in boxes, labeled, so it's easy for everybody to find within 5 seconds. So that then people get exasperated and finally call me in. Uh-huh. So, but it's still for businesses, it's still not a thing they recognize that they need help. You know, if there was a flooding in the office, they'd get a plumber in, but for organizing, they don't see that still that they need to get help for it. They'll get their admin staff to do it or the tea boys and stuff.
Yeah.
Whereas in the UK and USA, I think it's much more of a thing to work in offices.
And have things organized. When you've got a successful podcast as well, and I've listened to a few of those, and one of the things that I really clung on to, you talk about 7 types of clutter.
Mm-hmm,
so explain that to my listener. What do you mean by that?
Well, there's different types of clutter. So the 7 are the sentimental clutter, which is the things, you know, the dresses you've worn for your wedding dress or the prom dress, if you're American. And I know schools do that now in the UK. You know, things that you've received from your grandparents, friends, birthday cards, etc. And they're difficult to get rid of because, you know, you're so attached to it, or you're attached to that person. Even if you don't like the item, you're attached to the sentimentality of it. So people will find that very hard to get rid of. And I'm like, if you've got photos of it, or if you remember the holiday, etc., you might not need that piece of clutter.
Yeah. You know,
that's the thing. It's taking up valuable real estate in your house. So that's one.
But that I remember, like, my wife's wedding dress. It's in this huge box that, like, you know, we got married 14, 15 years ago. Try and remember that. I'm going to get told off to get that wrong. but I remember then, back then, you know, she wore it once and she's like, I'm going to change it into a corset. I want to do something different with it. Nah, nothing's good, you know. And literally at some point, moths will get it and then we'll throw it away, I'm sure. But it's like, I totally get that.
Yeah, there's a lot of people like that. And here, people have massive wedding dresses. Like, they have meringues. You could make several dresses out of that one dress, you know.
Uh-huh.
And then it's even worse when they get divorced. So it's what to do with it. So now there's more a market for selling it secondhand or renting them to, you know, the dresses out. So you get a bit of money for your dress.
Yeah.
In the UK, you can give the dress to, there's a charity that takes the dresses and makes baby clothes for babies that are passed away, like premature babies.
Wow.
So you know, you can have them buried in these dresses made of this lace or whatever from wedding dresses. So it's quite a beautiful way to use that dress.
Yeah.
But they've actually filled up. They've got enough wedding dresses right now. So you have to think of other ways.
It's
difficult.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So that's sentimental clutter then.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
What other ones are there?
So another one is clutter without a storage space, which is a lot of clutter in a lot of places. You know, if you're in your lounge and you've just got books everywhere and you haven't got enough bookshelves, that's clutter.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I know a lot of people have started doing hobbies during the lockdown, like sewing and embroidery and jigsaws, but then they have nowhere to put that stuff, you know, unless you frame it. So, and some people are framing them, but with the jigsaws, you know, they don't even have room to put the jigsaws back into the box and the box somewhere. That's a clutter without storage space. So you have to build storage space, you know, or get rid of that clutter because there's no place for it.
Mm-hmm.
So that's that one. Another one is bargain clutter, which is a big problem, especially with Primark being opened up again. So people love, you know, the cheap clothes, the Poundland shops, the charity, you know, going to markets and just buying tat, which they don't use. It just looks good. It was £1, so they're going to buy it, and then it just becomes clutter in their house. And people love going to these markets and buying these bits and pieces, but they haven't got anywhere to put it. So it links back to the clutter without a storage space as well.
Yeah.
So that's bargain clutter. Trash clutter is rubbish. So people have it, especially with hoarders, you know, when they don't throw the stuff away and it just starts building up. But even, you know, students in their houses, you know, in the kitchens, you go in and you just see empty packets and you go, yuck, that's disgusting. It's clutter. It's disgusting clutter, but it's clutter.
Uh-huh. But I think I remember listening to one of your podcasts and you were saying even stuff like stuff you stick on your fridge, vouchers and crap and all of those kind of stuff. And it is just paper rubbish that we don't need, but you kind of think you should keep in case it has a coupon that you might need. But because it's on the fridge, it's not in your wallet to use when you're at the store. So what's the point?
Yeah. And here we, even now, even though we have apps for delivery for restaurants, we still get menus and that gets dropped off all the time. You know, even if you've ordered on the app, they'll still drop off the menu in the bag.
Hmm.
And that's trash as well. So we have to end up putting it in the recycle bin. I usually find those menus as soon as I get the delivery and hand it back to them so they can use it for something else. But yeah, that's all linked to trash. And you need to get rid of it with it as soon as you get it in your house, or as soon as you've dealt with it, remove that trash, either put it in recycling or put it in the rubbish bin. So that's that one. So yeah, that's four of them. Fifth one is abundance clutter. So that's like, they have the offers, you know, for 3 for 2. I was at Marks and Spencer's before and they had the 3 for 2 offers. And, you know, you can buy so many biscuits, but then you can also get other things, shoes, you know, they have offers for that, especially now with the retail market so down and there's all these sales going on. So they're trying to entice you to buy more and more and spend more money, but you don't need, you know, with laundry detergent, most people don't need 3 big bottles of laundry detergent until, you know, you need one. And, you know, in the UK, most people don't have that much space in their kitchen or their, you know, and they don't have a laundry room to put these extra, you know, bottles of laundry. That's just clutter. It just takes up space. And they have that a lot here, you know, in the supermarkets, these, you know, you get these packets bundled together and they're like, it's cheaper. So people buy it and then never use it.
Yeah. Big trays of stuff. Jars and all sorts. My wife, like, I think, because with lockdown, all of a sudden we could start, I think she went out shopping and she could go into a store and you could see she just wanted to buy stuff just because she could. But it's like, remember she was out shopping and she sent me a picture of some like tree cutters, like secateurs. Like, do you need these? Oh, it's like, no, darling, I don't. We're all right.
I know. And that's happened a lot and it has become a problem here. I mean, everywhere globally, people were doing it with the toilet roll, which was the most bizarre thing. Even here, luckily it was only for a week or two. We had the toilet roll issue and then people were told to calm down and they stopped people from buying anything more than one, like 12 pack. But I know at home it went on for weeks and weeks and weeks, you know, this, and there's a guy in America who bought so much that he's now trying to sell all this stuff that he bought. Which has just taken over his house, and he can't sell it because nobody wants to buy it from him.
No.
So now he's got clutter in his garage.
Oh.
So. Other one is aspirational clutter. So that's the jeans, you know, that you bought in the 80s, which fitted then, but don't fit now. But you're saying, you know, those Levi's that you think I'm going to fit into them again. And it never happens. Or a fancy dress you bought and you've bought it because it was on sale and you will fit into it because you'll lose weight and it doesn't happen as well. I mean, I think a lot of people will have that right now because, you know, people at home baking, doing a lot of things with carbs. I was making a lot of chocolate chip cookies. Uh-huh. I'm not able to fit into some of the clothes now, so I'll have to get rid of them. Cause I don't think I'll be exercising enough for it to get, go down to what I was. So that's what that is. That's the aspirational clutter.
Uh-huh.
And so then finally is the freebie clutter, which I don't know if you guys have it as much now, but here we still do, when we go to events. So whether we go to a PR event or a networking event, they always give a goodie bag and there's always stuff inside, vouchers, mugs, there's something, or what do they keep on giving right now for sustainability, or straws, and cups and
USB sticks. There was a corporate, you got lots of USB sticks, I know.
Yeah, and the pens and the notebooks. The notebooks are a pain. Uh-huh. The amount of notebooks I have to declutter from people's houses that they got for free. And some of them are lovely. They're really nice, but you don't need them. So that's freebie clutter. And what I do, and, you know, my friends tell me off about this, but I will look at the bag while I'm, going to the car. And when I get to the car, I've seen what I want and what I don't. And most of the time, I don't want any of it. So I'll give the stuff that's like the pots, the coffee cups and the straws, all these bits and pieces. I'll give it to the security guard that we have in our building.
Uh-huh.
So now they've got loads of, you know, these cups and clutter in their kitchen, but they use it and then they share it between them and stuff. But the rest of it, I just throw away straight away in the recycling bin, or I throw in the dustbin. So it never gets into my house because, it's clutter and I don't need that stuff in my house. It doesn't need to enter at all. And I think that's what people need to do. But I don't know, what kind of freebie clutter now? Do you guys get stuff like at supermarket or like when you're in the the shopping centres and they give stuff out?
Generally, they're quite tight over here. You don't get any freebies in shopping centres. But you do, you know, there is goodie bag stuff. You know, like used to be like the whole Happy Meal kind of things or bits you get with the kids and stuff.
Yes.
So it's quite interesting because you're using the clutter as... at like, and obviously the title was like seven types of clutter. That's yeah. like the bad word. So when you go into someone's house and they've asked for help, they've asked you to come in and help sort out their place. Which areas need most work do you generally find with your clients?
Well, most of my clients, I seem to get the clients who want help with their closets and with their kitchens. Mm-hmm. And they're my favorite areas as well. And here we have two kitchens in a lot of big houses, in the villas. We have two kitchens. So we'll have the normal, clean, nice kitchen that they use for breakfast or coffee or, you know, serving. And then there's a second kitchen, which they call the dirty kitchen, which is where, they'll cook, or their maids or the cooks. And they'll make, you know, the smelly food. So the curries and all that kind, you know, all that kind of food will go in, and the messy food, you know, that might spit, the food that you fry and everything, that will be done in the dirty kitchen. So that's where all the main food will be stored, which is used for cooking. And the other kitchen is just more for showing off getting a nice kitchen. So we have a lot of that. And here as well now, there's a lot of people getting walk-in closets. Even if they've got apartments, they'll get, instead of a one-bedroom apartment, they'll get two bedrooms so they can use one bedroom as a closet because they have so much clothes. So I deal with that.
Talking of closets, so I showed my wife your Instagram. And
right.
Literally, because I build closets and wardrobes for a living. Yeah. And she was just beside herself with, like, your Instagram is just... not OCD, like literally, like just, I think she's got this idea from Sex and the City where you walk into a walk-in wardrobe and that's kind of her dream. And obviously we live in London, it's never going to happen.
Yeah.
So she's like,
you never know. Make one room a closet.
Well, before child and it was, we had a spare room, which I did turn into her walk-in wardrobe. And literally I was top boy for a while, but she just filled it with more touch. She just filled it with more stuff. So, but what I loved is like the designs and stuff in there. There's so many quirky bits, interesting. I want to chat to you because I get asked to build a lot of wardrobes and, like I say, walk-in closets. And there's lots of tips I've learned as a carpenter that can be beneficial. So I want to ask you first, and then I'll chip in, and hopefully our listener will learn some tips about if they're designing a walk-in closet or they're repurposing a spare room into a closet. What's the first thing you should do when you're thinking of designing a closet?
Well, first of all, I always say declutter first. So go through everything that you've got and declutter it.
Do you Marie Kondo it and throw it all in the middle of the room?
No. Never do that.
Okay.
I'm not a fan. Uh-huh. I'm not a fan. I have to admit. There's certain things I like, but the rest of it, no. But that thing of throwing everything, taking everything out, is the worst thing ever. So
it's overwhelm, isn't it? Don't you just go, oh, like you look at it and start and think, well, I can't finish that now.
That's what happens. And I've had it when the book came out, I had a client and she'd read the book and she insisted on doing that. And she had like about five wardrobes, suitcases full of clothes, things under the bed. And she was like, we have to do what Marie Kondo says. And I said, you will have a heart attack. And we put everything onto the bed and it was a mountain, an overflowing mountain. And she disappeared for 2 hours. So I then had to try and not get overwhelmed with separating the items into categories so that then giving it to her in the lounge because she couldn't handle coming into the room. So never, please, listeners, never do that. Do it section by section. Yeah. So, you know, I always say if you get overwhelmed by doing it too much, do a mini declutter. So spend 15, 20 minutes doing one shelf or one section of the wardrobe. Go through all the stuff, take it out, put it on the bed and see what you want to keep and what you want to declutter. Mm-hmm. And then organize them later into categories. So, you know, all your trousers together, tops, shirts, dresses, skirts, and, you know, ones for going out, ones for work. Separate them into sections and then put them back into the space that you have now. And then you can see how much you've got. So that's how you can then design the wardrobe. So there's no point building a closet based on, you know, the pictures you might see on my Instagram or on other places or what you see on TV if it doesn't fit the things that you actually own. Yeah. You know what I mean?
Well, I see that all the time when I go to do wardrobes. They'll go, okay, well, I want like two long hanging rails. And I went, do you have any ball gowns? I'm like, no. Yeah. Says you don't really need two long hanging rails then, because the bottom of it's going to be wasted. You know, we could probably do half a wardrobe, so you've got some long space. But then I might work with somebody who wears ball gowns because they're in showbiz or something. And then you go, well, okay. So it's about knowing what you've got, I presume, to know what you need then.
Yeah, exactly, and that's very true. And here it is a culture of going to big events and wearing ball gowns and stuff. So all of us have that. And it's not something you can then declutter. You wear it once, put it on Instagram, and you can't wear it again for a season. Mm-hmm. So you have to leave it for a few years. So it's a problem now. So, you know, those you keep, but you put them at the back of the wardrobe. You put it in the corner unit. You don't put it somewhere, you know, in the main part of the closet that you're going to access, because you're not going to look at them very often. But here people wear, you know, a lot of the ladies wear abayas and the long dresses that they call jellabias, which they wear under their abayas, so that they need more long space compared to in, you know, at home. So there's different types. And then if I deal with Western clients or non-local clients, they'll have more tops, jeans, trousers. You know, they might have short dresses rather than longer things. So yeah, then they would have the half and half hanging space. And then also we don't have as many jackets or coats as you guys will have. So there'll be less space, you know, you accommodate less for winter things because we don't need it.
Yeah.
A lot of people leave their winter clothes with their family in their home country. So they don't have it here. So there's things like that that you have to, you know, think about when you're building. You know, what do you wear a lot? Do you go to the gym a lot? Then you need a lot of shelving space or drawers to put all your gym stuff in. Especially for socks, you need a good unit for the socks.
It's interesting. Like I was pricing a job the other day, and I love it when the client's got some ideas and they'll show me and they'll have done a drawing of everything I want. And a lot of people have this habit of, they want drawers and that's fine, but they have a habit of putting them inside wardrobes. Now, the problem that I find is you've got to open two wardrobe doors fully to then pull out a drawer to get it. And so I'm going, don't do it. Because by the time you've banged and clacked and the door's been damaged and you've pulled it open and, you know, you're losing space with the drawers. Either have the drawers on the front of the wardrobe so you can see on the front it is a drawer, but you don't actually physically have to open two doors to get to it. Or just have open shelves and then get these big IKEA baskets or things where you can literally throw in your pants and stuff without having to pull it fully out. Do you know what I mean? Little tips like that. And they go, oh, yeah. And also, drawers cost more money to make. So you might save yourself some money as well.
And the thing is, the size of the drawers. So if they get the IKEA size drawers, that's great. But if they get, you know, custom made ones that, like, say you make, they have to make sure it can fit in storage solutions inside.
Yeah.
And it can fit like two storage solutions, like two boxes instead of one, because that's what I'm finding, that they're getting carpenters in who make narrow drawers. You can't put anything in them properly except for socks. You can't put underwear. You can't put, you know, bras for women. People don't think of that. Like they have to fit properly. You know, you can't put a lot of tops in if they're narrow as well. So they have not, you don't want them too thick, but you have to have them, you know, the depth big enough to fit things. So then you have less drawers going into the space. So they have to think about that, like how many drawers they need.
Yeah.
So that's a good thing about doing the declutter first and organizing what you have at the moment, so that you can see how much you need for now and for the future, because you have to plan for the future, because a lot of people don't declutter all the time.
No. One of the lost spaces that I always find, is the back of the door. So I'll do wardrobes and I'll, you know, you can put your mirrors on the back of the door, but also my wife has had some beautiful old lace that we attach to the back of the drawer, and she hangs all her necklaces and earrings on and stuff. Okay. So it's a way of, because in London everything's so small. So we're just utilizing that wardrobe space by, you know, people don't put things, I've even put little mini shelves so you can put a row of nail varnishes on there, or row of little, just you don't have to be huge, but it just gives you more stuff to put the things that you need to access pretty quickly, and it's a dead space.
But the only problem is I find that it does, if it's you put that space. I mean, that nail polish idea is brilliant. That's a brilliant idea. But for some other things like, you know, belts or ties, mm-hmm. it then starts becoming cluttery. You yeah. open and there's the banging of the belts, or, you know, and the tie rails that you get, the ties just fall off or it doesn't look very neat. So then people get frustrated. So it has to be, it depends on the person as well and how they view things, because they might say, it looks like it's a great idea, we'll do that. And then when they view it with the stuff on, they go, oh, actually, no, that looks cluttery. And the OCD comes out that we didn't know they had. Okay. So I'm always a bit wary about the behind the cupboard, just because people like cluttering it up rather than utilizing it correctly, the way it should be utilizing. Yeah.
On your Instagram, you had a beautiful wardrobe, walk-in wardrobe, and all the doors were glass fronted. Now, I would go, that's going to be look really messy. But it looked amazing. I don't know, but it was full. It wasn't one of those like IKEA style wardrobes where they only have four coats and two white t-shirts. It was rampacked, but it was clear glass. How did that end up? How was that look so good? And would you recommend that?
I recommend it. It depends on the client, and some client, you know, and obviously when we take the photos, it looks, you know, it's amazing. we don't know what it looks like when they start using it themselves, so we have to always bear that in mind. But I always say using the glass on the doors is brilliant for shoes and for bags and dresses, so you can easily quickly see, you know, what's there, and you know where to grab. Because with me, everything, you should be able to find everything in 5 seconds. So it's good to be able to see straight away where your shoes are and grab them, and the bags. You know, a lot of people, women have a lot of handbags, so it's a big thing. So it looks good like that. But I wouldn't recommend glass doors for other items, just because, yes, it can look cluttery, it can look messy. Like your day-to-day normal stuff, or if you've got tops hanging, it can look messy after a while. It just depends. If they become organized, they build the habit and stay organized after I've worked with them, then that's fine. But if they don't maintain it, it can start looking cluttery. So,
So you talked about habit there. What's the habit? How do you instill a habit in your clients?
So with me, I mean, I organize it and I talk to them while we're working. So I give them a few tips. So one of my favorite tips is if you buy one, you have to get rid of two, preferably of the same item.
I like that.
Yeah.
My wife's going to listen to this one.
So if she buys one dress, she'll have to get rid of two dresses. I say you can get rid of anything, but usually I prefer if you get rid of the same category. But an easy way to do that, to deal with the buy one, get rid of two thing, is to have, say, a recycle bag in your wardrobe. And every time you open your wardrobe and you see something you don't wear, you don't like, it doesn't fit, you put it into that bag. And when the bag's full, you then give it to charity, you know, you give it for donation, or you try and sell it, whatever you, if it's, you know, if it's good, you can try and sell it. But that helps you deal with the buy two, get rid of,
buy one,
get rid of two.
Yeah, my wife will cling on to the buy two, get rid of one. So yes, it's definitely buy one, get rid of two. If you could leave my listener with like top five tips, like to, you know, to help achieve a clutter-free house, or clutter-free life, because you do it also on your online, you know, like you say, you've done office, but you talk about social mediaing or Netflix clutter and all sorts. There's ways of getting rid of lots of stuff. But what are the top five tips to help have a clutter-free life?
So do everything in small chunks. So do the mini declutter. Don't do too much, because you will get overwhelmed. Not everybody is mentally like me, who can just keep on doing it, you know, all the time. Even I get tired after a while. So spend 15, 20 minutes doing just one section, your shelves, your cupboard, you know, in your kitchen, if you just do one drawer, just do that. The other one is the buy one, get rid of two. Mm-hmm. That's one of my favorite ones. Another one is file Actos.
Mm.
So file is, so if you get anything, emails, WhatsApp messages, a paper post, anything, you know, things from school, look at it first and see, can you file it away? Can you act on it within 5 seconds? Or can you just throw it away? So toss it. And if you do that with everything that comes in, like your emails, if an email comes through, look at it straight away. Do you have to reply to it? Do you have to do anything? If not, either put it in the bin or put it into one of the folders, or act on it. The same, and you know, at the end of the day, I have only 5 emails usually in my inbox because I've done file act toss with all the emails that come through during the day. And I do the same with WhatsApp messages, but if I don't have to deal with the, you know, if somebody's messages that I want to keep, I'll put it into archive. I won't delete them completely. So that, you know, you can do that. And then the same with paper. So if you get paperwork coming in, if you get mail, you do that as well. So a lot of mail is just junk, you know, especially when you get mail from the bank about the new terms and conditions, you know, and it doesn't make sense. That's something to put in the recycle bin immediately, removing your name and address. But yeah,
so it's about doing it as you're going along. Then the idea is so you don't get overwhelmed at the end. If you can kind of make this a habit, that will help you in the long run.
Yeah, and the main thing with me is that, you know, with anything, if it only takes a few seconds to do it, do it. So if you've got dishes in the, you know, you've just had dinner and you haven't got a dishwasher, just clean the dishes now instead of piling them up, because it'll take an hour to clean up all of those dishes when it's piled up. But it almost always take about a minute or 2 minutes to clean the dishes if you just do them now. So it just, and you do that with everything. When you come home, you take your clothes off. Don't throw it on the floor. Don't put it on the chair. Just put it in the laundry or put it back on the hanger and put it back in its place. And you build that habit up and start, you know, getting more organized, because you're putting things away where they should go, and you're not building this clutter up. So that's the thing. And then also, you know, make sure you can find everything in 5 seconds. So that's one of my key tips, you know, with anything. If you can't find it in 5 seconds, there's a problem with the system. So then you go back to doing the mini decluttering on that section.
Mm-hmm.
So everything is kind of linked together. And that's it, yeah. And the, with the buy one, get rid of two, you know, have that bag, and that's always helpful.
But I think that whole system thing, I think we did do the Marie Kondo thing last year after Christmas. It was on Netflix. We watched it and we threw out so much stuff, and it was brilliant, and it was something that we needed to do. But what was wrong with it was, I can't be bothered to roll my socks up. I can't be bothered to roll. Do you know what I mean? So we did it for the first bit, and then now I'm like, yeah, it's in a drawer. The socks are all in one place. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So, and I think that's where it lets itself down. That system of that kind of stuff didn't work for us.
Yeah. There is that. Yeah. So there's the rolling of the socks, and there's the saying thank you to each thing that you have to, you declutter.
Yeah.
And when I'm with my clients, when they're decluttering as much as they do, we haven't got time to stand there, you know, for them to say thank you to each and every item. So I say to them, look, if you want to do that, you can do it at the end. You just say thank you to all the bags of donation, and then I'll just take it. Like, we're not doing it for each item. That's just a waste of time.
What's really common is I've interviewed you in the hope of like letting my wife listen to this going, right, you need to go. But all that's happened is that whole thing of, wash your pots up straight away. Put things straight away. Don't leave your clothes and everything. I know I'm going to get done now. Like, literally. She's going to be...
welcome.
As she's listening to this, she's rolling her eyebrow. But at the end of my podcast, normally I ask my interior designers to tell me their dream space. It's normally something they've designed. But for you, I want to find out, if money was no object and space was at a premium, you could do whatever you liked, describe to me your dream closet. And what you're doing whilst you're in there. Normally I say what you're drinking, but I don't know if you drink. So.
I'll have a cup of tea. Uh-huh. I have thought about my dream closet, because I would like to have one in a whole room. So I would have a big space for long stuff, because I wear quite a few long things, and then half and half for the tops and the trousers and the jeans. Another half and half for blazers, jackets, and those kind of items. And then I want a middle console. So I would have a middle table with all the accessories. So I would have, you know, the underwear, the winter clothes. You can tell I'm organized.
But do you know what's comedy is? You're talking all about the practical bits, where anyone else I know would go, well, it would be gold, it'd be glass topped, it'd be marble. So you've gone, well, I want my knicker drawer.
I want one for my scarves. I want one for my necklaces.
If anybody gets a chance to look on your Instagram, Declutter Me, go on there and you'll see the array of the most beautiful, I see it from a carpentry perspective, but beautiful spaces. And I just love that you're talking about how many hanging rails you're going to have.
Yeah, I wouldn't have a glass top because it gets smudgy and you need someone to clean it all the time and that would annoy me. So I'd have marble.
Yeah.
I wouldn't have white because of the dirt as well. So things like that. I'm terrible. I would have a drawer for my belt. It's a proper belt.
Right, you know, stop now. Shalila, it's been an absolute pleasure talking to you. If anybody wanted to find you on your Instagram and also your website, can you give people your details, please?
So they can go to my social media. It's the same on all the major ones, and it's at @declutterme. So there's an E missing.
Was that intentional?
I was trying to be cool. That was 7 years ago. And then you can go to my website, www.declutterme.com. And yeah, they can get in touch, fill in contact form. I do virtual sessions as well now, so I can connect with people anywhere around the world.
Amazing.
So even in the UK.
I'm glad we finally managed to catch up, even though you didn't get to the UK. But when you do come over, and hopefully in the next year or so, we must catch up and have a coffee together and chat. Shalila, it's been an absolute pleasure. Thank you for coming on the TV Carpenter podcast.
Thank you so much for having me, Wayne. It was lovely.
Such a relevant topic for our time, isn't it? All the stuff that we acquire in our house that we don't need, that we can just get rid of. If my wife's listening to this, I promise I will do the washing up as I'm doing it rather than leave it to the end. I promise to put my clothes away. If you promise to get rid of two things, buy one. Is that a deal? We'll see. I'll let you know what she says. Hope you enjoyed listening to that interview with Shalila from declutterme.com. And a huge thank you, as always, to my sponsor for sponsoring this podcast. Don't forget, if you go to thorndown.co.uk and put in the code TVCarpenter, you'll receive 15% discount. If you enjoyed this, don't forget to tell people about it so that other people can hear this podcast and learn how to improve their home. And it would be lovely also if you could hit me with a 5-star review on iTunes, or maybe leave me a review like quite a few people have done already, which is really lovely to see. It helps people find me on iTunes. But all that's left for me to say is thank you for listening to me, Wayne Perry, on the TV Carpenter podcast.